Time to wake up. Home's a stranger. The immigration issue continues. We're live in LA this week. Wake up. And we're going to have a big immigration.
Nobody really want Fuego, Masayo with brain fire, damn worse than Waco. Why you some coffee, your Lego, your Eggos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo? Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Masayo ain't playing no Waco games. Women and pants gonna get it, flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor, even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro, they have to pay, bro, the most I say so. So in chase they go, for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinity Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test, then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother,
you don't want that fuego.
Hey.
Fuego.
Hey.
Hello. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History. For me with this mic, hear myself this way. I don't hear my, I'm used to the headphones and everything like that. I don't know if I like this open air thing. All praises. This is the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yashua, and we are live from Los Angeles. We are here. We have a new school out here in Los Angeles, and we're here just to kind of make sure everything is decent and in order, and we're going to make sure that we announce it strongly and boldly that we are on the map here in, well, probably the second major market, right? New York's really kind of considered like the number one, right? So Los Angeles is like the second largest market in the United States. Along with me today, I have
Officer Mariah to the S12 Project for Scattered Broad Reading.
Officer Barr, I know she's not famous.
Officer Arla, I know she's not famous.
I thought we were going to have more. Where's the brother? No, goodness gracious. Oh, this is LA. I'm trying to sow unity between Southern and Northern Kingdom. I need to show how tight the Issacharite is. Who the world ignorantly calls Mexican. Concord. Yeah, I got to get used to this open air thing. Look, I don't even get to be that close to the mic. So it was like here, and then I hear my voice up there as well. So, yeah, we're starting a little late. We'll see how we should be able to run at least an hour. We'll see how it goes. We'll see where the spirit takes us and what we're doing on the show today. I did want to talk a little bit about LA. I'm excited to be here. All right, that's good. Okay. Yeah, so this is
long time.
It's been a long
time.
Right. Uh-oh, there we go. Hey. Damn.
That's a good spot to be at, Captain. I don't know if you know, but we actually have one of the hottest strips called the Home Strip.
Really?
So, literally, you come out here around 11 o'clock, it looks like cockroaches came out, you know, to find food. You got pimps running down the street, you know, and we out here showing the light.
Wow, all praises. All praises to the Most High. That's good stuff. Yeah, it's important that our people see stuff like that. I mean, a lot of them may go on and repent from that wickedness, but
we've had a few.
Yeah, that's from the Lord. That's for the Lord to decide, right? We plant, the Lord waters, right? So that's really all we can do. I'm over here watching the live stream. Damn, y'all, they like high tech, bro. We doing this thing from our phone or whatever. I know. I'm like impressed with the layout and stuff. I know, I'm feeling a way. Like, I'm looking at it, I'm monitoring the thing, and I'm looking at it, and I'm feeling a little bit of a way. Like, I might have to have them come out here and, like, reassess what we got going on in Arizona, right? See what's cooking over there. I'm going to go ahead and do my thing, post some links. You want to talk about anything? And, you know, just talk. Talk,
Lava. First of all, let me get out of there. This is, like I said, the Native Latin Black Wall History Show. And a lot of Native Latin Blacks understand that they do have a long history. They ignorantly think that our history started in slavery, but really we have the richest history ever known to man. Our history starts at Genesis 1:1. We have the best history that's out there. It's the history that, that God gave us from the beginning. Isaiah 1, verse 3. The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, and verse 3. The ox knows his owner, and he asks his master for it, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider.
The ass and the ox are two unintelligent animals. The Most High likes to compare the nation of Israel to similar things. He says one thing, he's referring to another. He's comparing us as a nation of people, the Latins, Natives, and Blacks, to these two dumb animals. He says, as dumb as they are, guess what? They still know their homeland, and they still know who owns them. But it says Israel, we don't even consider that. We're actually God's chosen people. That's why we go under these titles of being the Gentiles. As long as we get into the kingdom, then we're fine being Gentiles. No. God says, you're my chosen people. You got to come back, keep your heritage as Israel, right? If you think of yourself, that's the first part of repentance. You can't repent as a Catholic. You can't repent as a Christian, a Mormon, none of those things. You can't repent as a Mexican, an African American. You got to repent as an Israelite from your respective tribe, keep God's laws, and seek the kingdom of heaven first and all things. But reading into the thoughts.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, and verse 3. The ox knows his owner, and he asks his master's crib. But Israel does not know.
But Israel, you Native Latin Blacks, you don't know. Read.
My people does not consider.
They don't consider God. Even when I read it in Ezekiel about little sanctuaries, the little sanctuary. So now, we have to come back to the realization that we are the Israelites, the Bible speaks of. And there's nothing wrong with declaring that claim. You go ask a white person, all right, or the Bible calls Edom, who the world so ignorantly calls Caucasian or white, whatever. You go tell them that a God chosen people, their response will be no, because they see themselves as superior to us. You say that to our people, then no, it's racist. There's nothing racist with understanding that you're the best thing God ever created. Give it to me.
Ezekiel 11, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen.
So although he cast the Israelites far among the heathen, that's why we're scattered in the four corners of the earth. That was one of the curses that came upon the nation. He said, although I did it to you for your rebelliousness.
And although I have scattered them among the countries,
read on.
Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come.
So little sanctuaries, whether it be in Trinidad and Tobago, whether it be in Jamaica, whether it be in New York, and now most recently here in Los Angeles. It's just been a very long time coming. I remember a few years back, it was just a couple brothers, and out of nowhere, the increase came. We actually have a building. It's a beautiful thing. This is the prophecy that the Most High fulfilled. His people have learned the truth. It's great. All praises
to God. I think that's fantastic being brought out. And you're right. Now we have a sanctuary in a market where there's a lot of stuff for people here. Before I jump, the main topic of what I want to continue on, and last week's show I wasn't able to immigration thing that's going on. You know how it is with the media. Stuff is hot and popping, right? It's all raging, right? So it's not like they really, like individual reporters that feel compelled of some morality. Although, I got to report the news. I'm not saying there's not one-offs in that. But the news outlets themselves. I'm talking about the higher, because it's just like in music, for example. You might have a musician, an artist, a rapper that wants to put music out that tells a story, right? Like hip-hop used to be when it first came out, right? Story of what we were going through in New York. Because, no disrespect to L.A., but hip-hop started in the Bronx.
That's right.
All right. And it was, like African Bambaataa and, all these people back. And it was to tell a story of what our lives were like growing up in there, right? So it was very politically motivated. And we know, there's stuff that's circulated on the internet, how the powers that be, which we know there's no power but of God, but the powers that be in the form of Esau and what he put out there, who the world ignorantly called Caucasians. All right.
I want to just co-sign with Google says yes,
I know that. Grandmaster Flash, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the Furious Five. I mean, come on, man, you know? But so even with the news, you might have individual reporters that want to tell a story. They want something to be brought to light. But the just like the record labels have went and they've made us a song, a dance, a cooning act. Same thing with sports or whatever it might be. Whatever it is that we endeavor to do as a people to try to bring awareness to something, it gets kind of marginalized, corrupted, biased. So as far as the networks are concerned, there's salaries to be paid, there's advertising dollars, there's airwave slots to pay for and things like that. So they're very ratings driven. Just like they want, you know, to them, ABC, yeah, they host news shows, they host talk shows, but they're just as concerned with the ratings on that stuff as they are with, you know, Grey's Anatomy or whatever shows on TV, right? So as far as that's concerned, they're going to put to the forefront of what's going to put eyes on their website, on their social media pages, on their news channels and things like that. So the immigration thing is a big deal to me because as we go through the timeline, you're going to realize it's not new, the separation of the children at the border. This has been happening, and it was planned for a while. And this was the part that I didn't get to last week. We spoke about a lot of different things. So I'm going to talk about that. But before I get to that, you know, I just to talk a little bit because, again, we're here in L.A., and, you know, this is a place where kind of that whole division between Northern and Southern Kingdoms perpetrated. Because I'll tell you something, what I can't stand is when I see a Jake talking about, yeah, send those immigrants back. Right? And I'm going to tell you something, the levels that have been done to our people, because it's one thing for me to see a Southern Kingdom brother say that, and that'll make no damn sense, like as annoying as it is. Well, you'll have straight Northern Kingdom brothers, yeah, send them back. And make no mistake about it, they say immigration issue. It's not an immigration issue because they're not separating Irish immigrants' kids at the border. They're not separating the Russians, all these other nations that come and overstay their visas. Somebody's going to try to spin in and be like, oh, well, you know, they're not crossing that way at the border. They're not doing this to Canadians at the border, right? So this is very racially motivated. This is against the so-called Mexicans, which the Bible calls the tribe of Issachar. And it's not just Mexicans, but you have Panamanians, Guatemalans. They just, Mexico's on the way. So they come in. Venezuelans are coming in mass because of what's going on in Venezuela, which is not reported anymore here. All right? So it's hard to find that news. Venezuela's inflation with their dollar, it's ridiculous. I mean, I did a show last year. We were talking about how you have doctors and teachers who are prostituting themselves to pay for food for their families in Venezuela because, like, the currency in Venezuela is not worth anything anymore. And it's because the world says it's not worth anything, right? So it's kind of like when we went to Cuba. Anyway, I don't want to ramble on in this, but I kind of wanted to talk to you LA brothers. What's kind of the climate like here as far as relations between so-called blacks and Hispanics out here?
I'll tell you what I've seen. Being from Chicago, I mean, it's night and day. So it's pretty much they live together. They get along to a certain extent. It's still segregated, it's not like your friends that are on this neighborhood, black people on this neighborhood, but it's still a tension. Like the other day I was at the store, and I was just walking out, my brother, I was walking through a tractor, and I said, you know you live on it, right? He said, what? And he said, I'm a drunk. I thought he said I'm drunk. So I said,
he said, you're drunk, or he was saying he's a drunk? Okay, so he was saying, I'm not an Israelite, I'm a drunk. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And he said, I'm a drunk. I said, he said, I'm a pastor. I said, what? So then,
he's a drunk pastor. Okay.
Yeah, my brother. Immediately, so I'm just like, I enter the car with a long pen. I'm thinking, black and Hispanic on the Israelite. Stop right there. What'd you say? I'm like, what? He's like, I'll kill you.
Why? Why would I kill you?
Because he heard Hispanic come out of
my mouth. Oh!
That was it. Hispanic are black people. God told his people. He said, I don't care about none of that. I'll kill you right now. I'll be the spirit of death on my brother.
Did you get scared?
No.
Did you run into your car real quick? Were you nervous?
Can you believe it?
He saw your mask being moved. What about you, Zeph?
I grew up out here. I actually grew up down the street.
Where are you originally from?
Originally from here.
Okay,
originally
all right.
From here, actually, Normandy 56, like down the street.
Okay,
all right. But it's always been that way. It's always been like little pockets. And it's just that the pockets have grown. They're starting to bleed open. So before, you would go like East LA was like taboo. You didn't go through East LA unless you were on the freeway. You know what I'm saying? Because that was Northern Kingdom. That was all Northern Kingdom, man. It was one of those things where it's like, we used to walk down the street to go to different, you know, parties or whatever, you know, when I was, and all the Hispanics would come out, all the, you know, big pops and stuff like that, they would come out and try to see, what's going on, what's this dark dude walking down the street? You couldn't even walk down there, that's how bad it was. Now, it's starting to bleed over, you know, they're starting to do business together and things like that, like, not together, they were, because of gentrification, they started pushing us all out of, you know, different blocks, like, you go down to Compton where the blocks used to be, you know, where a lot of those movies they take place, you know, well, if you name the movie, the blocks,
pretty much everywhere. Boys in the Hood.
Boys in the Hood, that's the one. Those blocks
where they shot
that movie. Like that. Boys in the Hood, where they shot it, we went through those blocks. And where you normally see, you know, brothers, you know, Northern Kingdom on one side of the block, Southern Kingdom on the other side of the block, it's not that no more. Now you're seeing white trash, you're seeing all kinds of...
Really?
Wow.
Wait, so you're talking about like in Compton, you're seeing white trash?
Oh, wow.
No.
Yeah. And that's what's moving us into these closer proximity. So now you go into King Boulevard where it used to just be brothers selling shirts and, you know, hey, I got them CDs, I got that incident.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like, what are they doing? Who's up there? Who's up there? And they got the
fruit. You said that pretty good. You sell the kingdom or another kingdom?
Un poquito, eh? But I mean, like, before you could separate it, you know, but now you go to the chicken spot, and instead of having brothers behind the counter, it's Northern Kingdom, because now you have to be bilingual. I went to the bank in the hood the other time, and sister, darker than me, sounds, she's speaking better Spanish than you.
Yeah, well, no, my Spanish isn't that great, though.
Hey, she's speaking just Spanish.
Right? Yeah.
It's crazy. I grew up like never seen that.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to think about that. That's spiritual in a way. Like, that's the Lord kind of making things happen so that we he's lining things up for us to not continue to stay separated. I know so the tension's still there, right? And I mean, historically growing up, that's what I've heard about LA. I'm not from here. I'm originally from New York. I'm born and raised in the Bronx, where hip hop was born. And does save Google, all right? Whoa, that reminds me real quick. Y'all should watch The Get Down on Netflix, all right? Talks about, hey, that thing is good. I'm mad that they canceled it. That thing was, they said they spent too much money on it, but that thing was good as hell. That thing was good as hell. Yeah, right. That wasn't real, the real reason. But, you know, growing up, you would hear, like, about the divisions, and it really wasn't like that for us in New York, right? I don't know that there was ever a time that it was like that. I mean, you know, I know when Puerto Ricans came and immigrated en masse, and I don't even want to say immigrated because they were citizens at that point, but when they traveled to, like, you know, the Northeast, the New York corridor, it wasn't really Judah or you know, so-called African-Americans that had problems with them. It was like the Italians, the Irish.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that had problems with, like, the Puerto Ricans coming, and then the Dominicans subsequently came, and then now, you know, these last years, there was a lot of Mexicans that were coming. I just remember growing up from a kid and, like, all my friends were Judah. Like, you know, I didn't really have that many Spanish friends unless you were, I mean, there was segregation. You had Spanish Harlem. You had the South Bronx, what they call Little Puerto Rico. You know, now you have Washington Heights, what they call Little DR. You know, so we had places like that. But, you know, if we had beef, it wasn't because you were Hispanic and I was black.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like that wasn't almost ever acknowledged. Like, we just grew up and, like, okay, we know we all living in the projects,
right,
or we all
exactly.
living in this neighborhood or whatever it might be, you know?
Exactly.
And Gabar's originally from New York, so from the Bronx, so he understands the birth of hip-hop, so he understands this. I'm just busting out L.A. because I know L.A. talking about Tupac. go ahead, officer.
Captain, one thing is that I grew up in the projects, And being packed in together, we had so-called Puerto Ricans as neighbors, so-called Judah, and we helped each other. So we didn't see that division that you see here in LA. So being oppressed together forced us to rely on each other.
Right, and that's the point that I really wanted to get to, is that I don't know whether it's because there was just not that much land. It's New York City and everybody's on top of each other. And while we are segregated, it's not to the point where you can be, from what I understand, Chicago is like, there's like a clear line, like, you know what I'm saying, of where, you know, Issachar is and where Judah is. You know what I'm saying? While we had ghettos, as far as, you know, like I said, Spanish Harlem, El Barrio and all that stuff like that, we always interacted with each other. So what you're saying is a new thing here as far as crossover in business and whatever, but there's still being tensions because of that. We didn't have that in New York.
We're starting to calm down.
Right.
Because of that.
Well,
like what you brought out, that's an excellent point that you're touching, because when we had East LA and we had South Side and South Central and all these different things, it's big out here. It's real big. You could drive like 3-4 blocks and be in another city, but it's far. You drive 2 hours to go that 3-4 blocks. You know what I mean? So it's real big out here. We separated. And nobody spoke Spanish. Like, you know, the most I would get of another language was a Korean dude on the liquor store. You know what I mean? So we didn't. Like stereotypes, there wasn't. If somebody told me something about Northern Kingdom, you know, so-called Hispanic, there wasn't a Hispanic person until I moved out of LA that I could relate to. And
right.
No, that's not true. So this being the commercial capital of the world, everything that was sensationalized on TV, that was seen on the news, that they said in you know, different Republican, Democrat parties, we believed.
Right.
I was brought up believing that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the danger of I mean, that's a whole other thing we could talk about and everything like that. That, you know, that's the mouth of the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it puts that agenda out there.
Yeah.
Right, right. And you know, I'm heavy on that, especially just coming out of DR. I spoke about it you know, a few weeks ago we were in DR. And you see the division between the Haitians and the Dominicans. And you know, that's all by design. I get that heavy because of my complexion. I mean, you know, there's those among us, like, just, you know, so I'll be out there. I remember when I went to the Bud Billiken the first year they did it in Chicago, and I'm there teaching, and, you know, some Judah was rolling with it. You know what I'm saying? Their ears were open. Some others were coming up, and they're like, but you ain't got nothing to do with us. Look at you. You light skin, whatever. So, you know, I got scriptures for that for days about the division and everything like that. I mean,
yeah.
I kind of got my... It's like my pre-programmed stuff that I pull for that, you know, because it ain't that hard when you can understand and embrace that piece of it. But let me get Nehemiah 5:9. I want to bring something out. All right. Because you made a good point. You said, you know, you have this gentrification happening. You're seeing white people in like these neighborhoods and these movies that, you know, for us that were iconic films, right? Growing up, looking at stuff like that. And you're saying that you're starting to see some coming together, which is good. I'm pleased to see that because, you know, Lord's will, when we come out here for the grand opening, we're going to come out in force. And, you know, we're going to go through these neighborhoods doing flyer missions. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how granular we're going to get. But, you know, it's going to be, if we go 2x2, it'll be a Southern Kingdom and a Northern Kingdom, you know, going to, so that they can see, like, hey, we ain't got no beef. We unified in this message. We unified in this. All right. And we're preaching this thing together. So when you come up to a Judah brother and you talking that, right? Now you could defend your Northern Kingdom brother. And if I'm talking to a Northern Kingdom brother, he's like, nah, I don't accept this because you with that Southern Kingdom brother. We're going to be able to go ahead and deal with that thing scripturally and give them the understanding that that's the thing that they got to get out of. Because, you know, oftentimes you hear you have to unite against a common enemy. And the problem with the division amongst our people is that it was a plan. It was a design by Esau. It was a design by starting with the so-called, the word that calls white man. All right. And these other nations to divide us. All right. And I go over this a lot and I bring these scriptures out a lot, but it's just because it's wild that the Bible says this.
Right.
So it always bugs me out. But let me start with this, Nehemiah 5:9. So something like that, having a common enemy can galvanize you. And you have to understand the scripture identifies who our enemy is. And it's not them of our own people. All right. Now, yeah, you could talk about, you know, the New Testament, it goes into love thy enemies. It's talking about those who don't believe of our people and stuff like that. But those people have a chance at coming in. So there's different types of enemies, right? There's different ways that this is set up. So Nehemiah 5:9, go ahead, read that.
The book of Nehemiah, chapter 5:9. Also I said, it is not good that you do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen? our enemies.
Right, so it says, it is not good that ye do. It is not good that ye do sin. It is not good that you're divided, that you're straying away from what the Most High has in store. Get me Judith 5, because I want to piece up that with this. So, 5:9. So he says, I said, it is not good that ye do. He says, ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God? And we understand, because Psalms 111 and 10 says what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, all right? So the fear of your God is going to get you to keep the commandments. That's the motivation for most of us as we repented in this walk. Without that fear, all right, that perfect fear, it's the beginning of wisdom. You can't jump the cart and say, oh, I got my precept game down. I got this, that, and the other down. If you ain't keeping no laws, then you don't fear, right? And it goes to show you that, you know, all these different denominations, all these different religions, they're fearless against the Lord because they're preaching that the laws are done away with. All right. So it says, ought you not to walk in the fear of the God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? The heathen means the other nations. So it's telling you that those are our enemies. We have a common enemy. So I thought of this when you said how, you know, they're seeing the gentrification and things like that. We always kind of knew that in New York, you know, kind of coming up. So we were always united in that way. We didn't have to go through that transition because we understood, listen, we shouldn't be fighting bigger with each other. We're stronger together. All right. But we didn't have this behind it. So it was in wickedness. Right. So we still did wicked things to each other, right? So he says, the heathen are enemies. But what the part that I want to talk about here with Judah, he says, aren't you not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach? So why did he say you should walk in it? Not because of the fear of what God's going to do to you or what he's done to you. He says, but because of your enemies. So give me Judah 5 and is it 20 that I want to start at?
The book of Judah, chapter 5 and verse 20. Now therefore, my Lord and governor, if there be any error in this people, and they sin against their God, let us consider that this shall be their ruin.
So it's telling you that the Israelites, who are so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, those who are scattered and fit the curses of the Bible, all right, in the four corners of the earth, all right, he says, listen, if they have any error in them, let us consider that this is their ruin. You want to know why we're in the conditions that we are in today? You want to understand why we have the problems that we do, why we have the divisions that we have? It's because we are not keeping God's law, statutes, and commandments, all right, which is a heritage to us. This is our wisdom in the sight of the nations, the scripture tells us. And he says, it will be their ruin. Go ahead.
And let us go up, and we shall overcome them.
He said, let us go up, and we shall overcome them. If this people, these blacks and Hispanics, are not unified, if they're not keeping the commandments, he goes, we're going to be able to overcome them.
Right.
And in this time, it was what? By physical might. But in modern times, they do it what? Through the media, through planting these seeds, like you said, like stuff that we see growing up, and you just believe it. And you start to just perpetrate it. You might have never known a so-called Hispanic person in your whole life, but because the way things were portrayed, you like, damn, I got a hatred against this brother because of this. And you grow up thinking that way, right? Again, a little different for us in New York. We never had that. Although, you know, I never had no shame talking about my mom, my family, that I'm not believing. But my mom was like, she used to be like, oh, you know, you could be friends with black people, but don't marry them. You know, so she was always trying to plant some seed in that way. But, I mean, I don't know, by the grace of God, because usually, man, you know, kids are influenced like that. That's how they learn. That's how you got these little Edomite kids that they know, all right? You know it's spiritual and it's the Lord because that hatred never took root in me. That division that she was trying to say, like, oh, I never saw... Like, really, some people said, I never saw black people as black people. This was just my friend, because this was all I knew. You know what I'm saying? This is what I was around. So different ways that they overcome us now in the modern time is what? By planting these seeds, this division, and all of that. But read on.
Verse 21. But if there be no iniquity in their nation.
He says, but if there be no iniquity, if there be no sin in their nation. Go ahead.
Let my Lord now pass.
He says, hey, you better pass by. You better keep on walking. Go ahead.
Lest their Lord defend them.
Because lest the God, the creator of everything, all right, in the beginning, there was nothing, and he made it all happen. All right? He says, lest that power defend them. Go ahead.
And their God be for them.
And their God be for them.
And we become a reproach before all the world.
and they become a reproach. So now go back to Nehemiah 5 and 9.
The book of Nehemiah, chapter 5 and verse 9. Also, I said, it is not good that ye do. Are ye not to walk in the fear of God because of the reproach?
In the fear of our God. Right? Listen, little words, I always talk about distinction. Every word, it needs to be emphasized when you read the scriptures. I'm going to tell you something. Even something as simple as the word as is so powerful when you look up the definition of it when you're doing the description of Christ. Because if you want to get real technical and granular, when it says his hair was like and as, when you break down the definition, they mean two different things. One will go into kind of the exact characteristics of it, and one will tell you like comparison of it. Meaning when we say that when it says it's like the pure wool, right, it's talking about the texture. And then when it says snow, it's talking about the color. Some people try to say, no, they're just saying it's white. So they're being redundant and they're double saying it's white. But when you look up how it says like and as, so it's little things like that. So every word, it says our God. So you understand that? Not the God or whatever. God, the God of the Bible is the God of Israel. He's for one group of people. It says, are we not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? Because we're a reproach to them right now because we're not keeping those commandments. Right. This is why we're in those conditions that we're in. This is the divisions that we have amongst each other. All right? That's biblically. That's prophetic. But it says once we change this thing around, it says they're going to be the reproach. And the heathen acknowledged that when you read that in Judah. He goes, if they be no iniquity in them, their God, all right, is going to stand for them. All right? Go back to that in Judah real quick. Let's read that one.
The book of chapter 5 and verse 21.
21, go ahead.
But if there be no iniquity in their nation, let my Lord now pass by. Let their Lord defend it, and their God be for them.
He says, let their Lord, possessive, their Lord, just like you read in Nehemiah 5 and 9, he says, our God. Because now he's talking what? In first person, and then you're talking in third person. He says, let our God and their Lord. They knew that this God wasn't for them. All right? Why? How the times have changed. Not so much. The ruling elite, the higher echelons, they know that God's not for them. But part of their master plan was, hey, let's just make, all right, white Jesus, let's make God for everybody and say all that, right? So they try to throw it in that way. There's so many depths to this. He says, let their God defend them. Go ahead.
And their God be for them. And we become a reproach before all the world.
What is that? That's Jacob is the beginning, Esau is the end. That's talking about that they will now, things will be switched around. So now when you read in Nehemiah 5 and 9, it says, listen, it's not good that you walk in sin, Israel. You should walk in the fear of God, because now when you understand historically the curses, it says because of the reproach of the heathen, which are our enemies. We have a common enemy, and we must unify against that. Stop bickering and fighting amongst each other, all right? And that's why, you think about it, Christ's message was so strong. Even the apostles, when you read in Acts 15, when he says, listen, emphasize this law, emphasize that law. They got Moses in all the synagogues, so the other stuff they're going to get. The issue that they're having is that they're divided. They're cut. They're not unified in understanding this. This is why you have Romans 11. This is why you have Christ talking the way he spoke about these things. This is why you have Paul going on and on with Gentiles, because it was a big issue, just like it is out here. It's the same spirit of division of those that were in a Gentile state of mind and those that were repentant. It was that same kind of dividing line of separation.
That was Christ's message, and then the Holy Testament was loving everybody like yourself.
Right.
That's why he said this is the new commandment. That was never a new commandment, right? But he had to come emphasize that because, like Captain said, they were already wearing prints. They were already keeping the dietary law, all those things. But there was that separation, and they lost that. That's what he came to expound upon.
Right. All praises. All praises. You look like you were going to say something. You were simmering there. You good? Just talk if you want to talk, brother. Go ahead, brother.
Isaiah 51 and verse 20. Because even though we got separation between the black and the family, just want to think out. Really think back and remember, why is that? So,
the book of Isaiah, chapter 51 and verse 20. Thy sons have fainted.
So it says, thy sons have fainted. Black and family, God says, they have fainted.
They lie at the head of all the streets.
So all the streets, you see our people. right here in the streets of Homestead. They laying down, moving out down in Jackson, probably see it coming up. He was laying out, sleeping like they
Hey, not just that. I mean, I wasn't here when Bishop Kanai came out, but that footage with, like, with the tents and all that stuff like that, that's crazy. I never seen anything like that. That don't look like America. That looks like some third world country. Bro, that's wild, bro. That's insane. Bro, not even New York would have something like that going on.
Officers were saying that Vegas has the same thing. There's a section of the city where you just see people.
Bro, that's insane. That's insane. Go ahead.
Thy sons have faith. They lie at the head of all the streets, and a wild bull in a net.
And a wild bull in a net. A bull is wild. The net is really the oppression that the Lord put upon us, the captivity. So our people will be the bull, the net will be the oppression, and God's curse that he put upon us, right? So we are only fighting the brothers and sisters who are in that same net with us, right in the net.
Right.
So we gotta fight the same people that are in the same net.
That's exactly what it is. Man, that's pretty deep, bro. That's good. All praises. I like that. We only fighting each other because we all in the net. I live in apartment 9A. My friend Kendall lives in, you know, 7B. You know what I'm saying? We subject to the same crackheads that are in the hallway. We subject to the your apartment almost got broken into last week. Mine did too. We're going through the same things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's really heavy to bring that out because we brought out the gay down and hip hop. In no community you don't see that.
Like, no. Well, I think the show does a real good representation of what it was like in the Bronx. It takes place around the years I was born, but that thing continued, it permeated until like probably the early 90s. All right. I think the Get Down, the first year is supposed to be like 77, the second year 78. I was born in 77. So, you know, but I remember it being exactly like that. Like, it was like that for a long time. The Bronx was just this crap hole. Like, nobody cared. The federal government didn't care. They weren't going to help fund it. I remember Mayor Koch and all that stuff. But, it was kind of just like that. And what I like about The Get Down is that when you saw the gangs and you saw the I'm not saying there wasn't separation. There were some groups that they were like, hey, we're Black Power. But let me go back politically. When you look at groups like the Brown Berets and the Young Lords, they had Judah with them, all right? Some of the Panther groups in New York had some Northern Kingdom brothers with them and things like that. They had Ephraim with them. And they understood that it was like a common thing. Like, because why? It was in front of you to see the city. So, I don't know. I believe Esau just got hip and they said, listen, we got to segregate them more. We got to separate this thing out more. And you wound up with this dividing line. So now, like, you're thinking about, like, what? So, like you said, your father got in and said, oh, now these Black shops are now. And there was always crossover of that in New York. So, you know, if there was a Spanish restaurant, maybe a few blocks down, there was a Black restaurant. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, so you had the soul food and you had the Spanish food. And it was and a lot of times there was crossover in that. And you just, again, I can't, like, express it enough. You really didn't see. You know, yeah, maybe behind closed doors you might have heard certain things. Like I said, my mom would say certain things. Maybe you heard some. What's that?
Marrying up in the
Yeah, well, I mean, she didn't put it that way, but she was just like, you know, you'll hear things like pelo malo, like bad hair, stuff like that. Oh, that girl has black in her. She has bad hair. You know, so I used to hear things like that, like growing up and stuff like that. Oh, I could tell she got black. You better not marry her, you know. So, I mean, that was the mentality like my mother had, you know. And again, it's by the grace of the Lord, I never let that thing permeate in to my mind that way. But the point I'm making is, going back, I like the Get Down show. Hispanics and blacks together in the same crews and the same cliques. I mean, they were wickedness together, but they were unifying wickedness, but they weren't unifying righteousness. But the point was, they were together, and the show doesn't really talk about that. I mean, I don't recall if there was anything.
Right.
So yeah, exactly. And again, it was just, hey, we together. You know, they were rolling in the crews together, dancing together, rapping together, or whatever it was. And there was no differentiation in that, you know? So, let me get Psalms, you know what I want, 2. Because I always like to bring this out. I went heavy on this in DR because of, it's hard to go into the tribes and break down, right? Like, people were asking us about the division between Simeon and Levi. And, you know, Bishop brought out a good point, and he said, you know, if you go out into and try to break down, you know, Genesis 49 for them in that way, it's going to sound circumspect to them. Their mind's not ready for that stuff. But if you approach it from the plight of a people and the similarities in that, we were talking on the drive out here about how, these people who, because I was laughing because I said, why do I always wind up in the memes where people want to talk about how Northern Kingdom, I'm like, you know, I ain't even on social media like that. Look, there it is. Like, wow. Did you have it ready? Were you going to bring it out? He had it ready. He had it ready.
Yeah.
You're right. And what did I tell you when I said that? I said, little do they know, that picture was us being locked up for the gospel.
Right.
Outside the precinct,
right.
And they're behind their keyboard. What have you done for your people?
Right.
And you here talking about these are Spaniards.
Cool.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on now. Hey, it's obvious I have Spaniard blood in me, all right? I'm not even going to freaking, you know? I mean, really. Hey, I'll tell you, it's obvious he has European blood in him. Look at how light he is compared to our life. Hey, there's some brothers that if you could, you know, if you had straight hair, they would say you're not Israel.
I had that. Okay.
Right. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm talking about stereotypical characteristics. Your nose ain't characteristically Judah.
Remember what happened when we were in Puerto Rico?
Uh-huh.
They thought that I was Northern King.
Yes.
They did not think
yes.
I was Judah.
Hey, look at that. Look at that. He got the hair. Well, your nose ain't a, you got some European in you. Because that nose ain't a Negro nose, bro. That nose ain't, right. So, I mean, listen, it's they're idiots, bro. They're idiots. Look at you. You ain't got a typical, stereotypical nose either.
No, I don't. But I'm good. When I first came to the school, I'm purple. I'm going to be a hammer. But think about it. We all can be hammer.
Now, you're not purple. You're not purple.
Think about it.
Bro, there's Ephraimites in Africa. All right?
Yeah,
they are Ephraimites there. And when I say Ephraimites, I'm not talking about what you would think about. Because in a way, if you think about it, it's stereotypical too. We think Ephraim and we're thinking Puerto Ricans on the island.
Right.
There's people that are Ephraim that are in Africa.
That's remnant.
Yes.
To combat all of that stuff, like you said, we could be a hammer. Or, you know what, maybe I'm a heathen. That's the reason why Paul said, don't worry about genealogies. The Lord said, if you're fearful of ways with my spirit, then you're fine. Because we can only do so much. That's why he said, I'm going to give you the curses at the time.
Get a chair. Pull up. Wasn't there another mic?
He's trying to get everybody in the shot.
Okay. So he could be in the shot. He could just be real close to one of y'all.
Yeah, of course.
Stay there.
But yeah, so this whole thing, oh, no, he's light skin, so he's not Israel. Like, okay, but guess what? My spirit brought witness to the spirit of God.
Well, and that's the point that M.R.I. was making as we were driving out. He was like, and he's heard me say this. Don goes on record. Isaac says it all the time. If you want to get real technical, there is more obvious evidence. I'll say that. There's more obvious evidence to support that we are Israel. When I say we, I mean a so-called, who they call Europeans, like Mexicans, whatever, than there is for so-called blacks.
There's
right. Right, there's way more, like it's so easy, it's abundant there,
You know what I'm saying? That's how you know it's a spiritual deep sleep that's on our people. But just like there's a whole bunch of Judah that's really gay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I know. Look. The villain in the booth made a face. And he's like, I'm Judah. I don't know, bro. The way your locks is coming down, you might be gag, bro. Good. Show your locks. Come here. Get on camera. Show your head, bro. Show your head. Look. I don't know, bro. That's. You look like a Gadite to me, brother. Look at them sharp feet. You might be Reuben. Bro, look at the brother, bro. He look like he Reuben. Look at that. That's a... Hey, I'm telling you, I don't have the pictures here, bro, but if you look up some of, like, the dark Indian, bro, you look like you'd be related to one of them, bro. So you never know. I mean, all praises. You rep what you rep. At the end of the day, we all Israel, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're going over right now, right? That we got to see that we want people. Right. You know what I'm saying? Listen, the finger could point this way, meaning go to another gate. Just don't point that way. You know what I'm saying? Saying you ain't coming in. You know?
As long as it doesn't say I never knew you, you're good.
Right.
Like, people will call and to base it 12 tribes on a and then I'll say, brother, whoever you, I'm Judas. So it's right in that sense, but it's wrong in...
Right. So that prophecy is right to prove that you're Judah, but it's fight for the Northern Kingdom breakdown.
So in that case,
ignorant.
The Lord alive and the Bible's led a spiritual book. Then.
Yeah.
Which one of so many? The brother called.
Oh, yeah. So the brother called.
So
I gave him the benefit of the doubt, you know. Because we don't.
Oh, was this the one that you were on video?
No.
I mean, on audio?
No.
Right? You were on YouTube?
There
was one. I know there was one where ASAP was really mad at you.
Yeah.
Because you entertained it.
Yeah. That was before.
Oh, so there was another incident.
No,
this is the one you're talking about.
There was another incident.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I have to stop taking the calls because I don't got time for that.
Right.
Yeah. So this guy called, and, you know, real, his template was low, you know, real slide. You know, I've been watching for like about 3-4 weeks now, you know. So I'm like, immediately, Officer Arla, you know, we were together. And he just heard me pick it up. There's another guy that cried all his experience. He's like, the dude said a few words, and Officer Arlai says, scoffer.
You could tell. You could tell right away. Right.
And I'm like, you're crazy. That guy's cool. He's humble. You know, I love the way you guys teach. He said something like that. You know what I mean? And I've been, but like, I agree with a lot of stuff that you say. But what about the Mexican? What about the Mexicans? It's like, how did they fit in? I said, tell you what, how did you know you were an Israelite? Well, because of the curse of Judah, I said, well, the exact same way that you found out you're an Israelite.
Bro, it's so easy, bro. It's not even sparring, bro. It's just like, get out of here. It's like, you know, I think of like, you know, like you used to see in the movies or the cartoons, like you hold the little guy's head and he's trying to get you and hit you and stuff like that. They trying to reach, bro. They trying to reach and they can't. You know, it's just like, come on, man. Get out of here with that nonsense. Read this, all right? They got to come out of that mindset. Give me Psalms 2. Start at 1.
The book of Psalms 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage?
Understand, we've already established the heathen means the other nations and they are enemies. It says, why do the heathen rage? Go ahead.
And the people imagine the vain thing.
The people is talking about Israel. Hold that real quick. Get Acts 4 and 25. All right? We're going to read 25 through 28 to prove this. Okay?
The book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why do the heathen rage?
See? So the New Testament quotes the Old Testament for the New Testament only Christians. All right? Dummies. Go ahead.
And the people imagine a vain thing.
And the people imagine a vain thing. That sounds like what we just read. Read on.
The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ.
So it's the same like today. In that time, it was kings. Right now, they call them what? Prime ministers, presidents. Things like that, right? It says those people, those rulers, they were gathered together against the Lord. As at this day, they still are gathered together against the Lord. Read.
For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together.
It's, again, there's nothing new under the sun. He's letting you know the people, just like we read, why do the people, and the people imagine a vain thing, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For what? Read the next verse.
For to do whatsoever they had, they
for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So it's like what you said earlier. Let's go back to Psalms. When you were saying you just heard it, so people just do it, and there's no verification. Oh, you know, you grow up saying, hate Mexicans, so you hate Mexicans. You grow up saying, hate black people, so you hate black people. And there's no thought behind it, not realizing that this is programming and an agenda. So it says, for whatever their hand says to do, Israel just do it. No, it's the same way they vote. They don't vote based on any real track record, right? Oh, they'll go by the ads in the news, right? And it's like, oh. Right. Right, right. Exactly. Well, what would you read, Isaiah 1 and 3, right? So it says, even the ass, the stubborn donkey, knows who he belonged to, but Israel don't. We stupid. We don't realize not just that we're Israel, because right now we're coming across this sect that say they know they're Israel. Some of them say they know they're Judah. But now you got people even within that not saying, hey, acknowledging that Northern Kingdom is Israel as well.
Right.
All right? So it's even within that context. So now it's taking like a step up. Okay, yeah, we Israel, but they not. Like, really? So, I mean, we brought out all the points and arguments for that. So go back. Read Psalms 2 and 1.
Psalms 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people of Babylon may endure?
Go ahead.
The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together.
They take counsel together. They are confederate, just like you read in Psalms 83. Go ahead.
Against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.
It says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You know, that's easy to glaze over and say, I don't really understand what that's saying. How do we break their bands? How do we cast their cords asunder? Get Zechariah 11 and 14.
The book of Zechariah, 11, verse 14. Then I cut asunder my understaff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel.
That's what the bands are. When you're reading in Psalms 2 and it says their bands cast their cords from us, it says, let us divide them. And then throw them, when it says cast their courts from us, we're going to throw them on their side and say that's little Mexico. Don't go there. That's where the Mexicans are. And that's where the blacks are. This is Spanish Harlem. That's regular Harlem. This is little Puerto Rico. This is little whatever. This is the hood. This is Compton. Don't go there. Don't go here. East side, south side. That's casting them. So let's break them. Let's say they're not together and now segregate them out and say and make them seem like they not one people versus the dynamic we had in New York. Where again I was Puerto Rican. We never referred to my friend as my black friend. I never referred to they would never refer to me as my Spanish friend. It was like, that's my boy and this is my boy and that's it. And that's how we rolled. And that was the end of it, because why? We understood, like I told you, my boy lived in 7B, I lived in 9A. You know what I'm saying? In the same building, all right? When the other boy lived in 4, I even had Levi down the hall from me. No, hey, those are the Haitians, all right? We knew them because of the crazy colors they wore all the time. You know, those are the only ones. Levi always get the short end of the stick. Those are the only ones we identify by their race. Yeah, those are the Haitians that live down the hall. Right? You know, Lamont was Lamont. It didn't matter that Lamont was black. You know what I'm saying? Lamont was my boy. He lived in 14, you know? It wasn't like, you know, oh, that's the black family on the board. No. You know what I'm saying? That's that Spanish family. No, that's it. That's how it was. All right? And again, there were some exceptions. Some people, I'm sure there's, just like anything else, there's one-offs, right? Just like there's some nice white people. Nah, just catching you. I'm trying to catch y'all up with that. But you didn't have that separation. So some of the tactics that they used is that segregation, whatever they put away. Another way that they did it to cast asunder is what? By saying Christ didn't have no nationality, that he was born of a virgin birth. That's another ideology that creates division, because now there's nobody to galvanize behind, right? Right. And you got to understand, the scripture tells you that the son of perdition has to be redeemed, right? That in those last days. And what did most people gravitate towards when you heard this? Either you were intrigued by the fact that they said Hispanics or Mexicans or Africans or whatever filled you in are in the Bible. And then when they told you the Bible says the white man's the devil. And that intrigued you. So we galvanize behind what? A common enemy. We understand that is us against them. The scripture words it clearly when we read Nehemiah 5 and 9, when we read Judah 5, 20 and 21, it says their God. Nehemiah 5 and 9 says our God. He says of their God before them. But one of the tactics when they got together was like, remember, at that point, they weren't talking about dividing them as a people yet. That stuff happened later on. Remember, it was we were always intermixing because of the captivities. But when you read about us being called Gentiles, where is it? It's in the Maccabees.
Right. That's right.
Right? So it's under that Greek captivity that when we really started to lose ourselves. Okay? And that's where all of this came together. This was how they made us hit it. And they created these divisions and everything, and they said, boom. And let's keep commandments on top of that. Because remember, it says to what end? When you read in 1 Maccabees 1, it says that he declared all shall be one people. Right? So first it started with that. Hey, here's how we do it. Rather than get them to leave their individual tribes, let's just say we all one people. Right? And this is going to lead me back to what I want to talk about with the immigration stuff. All right? It says, let's just say they're all one people, all right? And then when you read on, it says, and also they got to leave their laws, their statutes, and all that, and they're going to do things the way we do it. And they called it a religion. Politics is a religion, and they called it a religion, all right? And then he says, to what end? He says, to the end that they shall forget the law, right, and their history and their people and who they are. And then now, phase two is now create a wedge between that. Right. And now so they tried to unify everybody and then went ahead. Because once you lose that and you're identifying as American, this brings you back to this. This is how you can have an African-American or even a Mexican-American say, yeah, send those Mexicans back because there are some. No, don't think all Mexicans are on board with Mexicans coming here. Yes. Hey, the one that was for him during the campaign, she got deported. She got deported. The Lord said, how dare you speak against your people? Yes.
She had the most fiery bill.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bye-bye. It don't matter. He was bigging her up that she was giving him props during the campaign. And then when it came on the radar that she was going to be deported, because he could have stopped that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He did it. He said, yeah, send him back.
I think
maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, right? But you got to realize the cunningness, man, of these heathen, bro, and this craftiness.
Bro,
and it is genius.
That's genius. That's why the scripture says that they're wise and Daniel.
Right.
They're not ignorant to the things that they're doing.
Right.
I would use the analogy. If you were the owner of a Fortune 500 company and you knew that one day that the janitor was going to come take your place, then you could do the most you can to keep that seat too.
Right.
So I don't blame them for being the devil. That's the part of their main play.
Right.
It's just up to our people to wake up.
Well, right. You know, Deacon Nathan always says it, and some people get mad. And I'm not saying that they clearly are the devil, right? But you get to a point in this walk where you transcend from, because some people just, I say this all the time, some of us just repented because we were like, yes, the white man is the devil, and we down with that, right? But you get to a point where you just, when you start to understand that, remember, the scripture says the Lord will send these people against you, and you're not going to be mad at God, right? I mean, some try to their detriment, right? But that thing puts fear in you. We got to take accountability for our own actions and our own stuff. So it's like when people say, oh, you upset about, you know, white cops shooting, you know, blacks and Hispanics. And I say blacks and Hispanics because the news is another thing where they do. They'll publicize every black shooting, but not Hispanics. And Hispanics are getting killed the same way. All right. Native Americans are getting the same way. All right. All that stuff. Just being Native American and walking on a college campus apparently is a problem. You know what I'm saying? And they'll put it out there that way. And we'll say, you know, and they actually say this correctly. You're upset about that, but you're not upset about y'all killing each other. And it's true, though.
That's true.
It is true. So we have to look internally, right? Because we're always looking externally. Is it Lamentations 4:17 and are watching?
Yes.
Then get me that real quick. And stop saying that this country, whatever. I mean, it's so broken, our mindset as a people. And this is why it's so important. It's a grave issue. We report back to the Lord and return unto Him.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 4, verse 17. As for us, our eyes have yet failed for our vain help.
You start a move, and we know the Black Lives Matter movement, there was an agenda behind that, but the people involved in it on like the foot soldier type of level, all right, they're thinking, hey, I'm bringing awareness to that, the disrespect that people have against, you know, Black people, okay? Like, they just don't see them. It's a different reaction people have towards Blacks and Hispanics versus, I mean, you've seen it. I mean, I know 2020's done shows where they'll show like a Black kid unhooking a bike and they'll call the cops on him. They show the white kid. And, bro, there's been one, these clips where the people come over and they'll be like, hey, what you doing? They'll be like, oh, I'm just taking this bike. Oh, is it yours? No. And they let the white guy walk off. Like, he tells them, I just stole this bike. And because it was white, they don't call the cops. The Black or the Hispanic one, they freaking call the cops on. And it's his bike. Yes. 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 I mean, you see. Yes, bro, there's a whole bunch. Barbecuing, selling water, whatever it might be. And the thing is, that's not new. It's always been there. It's just that now, information, boom, you got social media, all this stuff. So now it's just being made more aware. You see it all out there more prevalently. All right? Go ahead. Where are you at?
In our watching, we have watched for a nation that cannot pay.
So my point is, you go back to the Black Lives Matter. I use that because that's a big one. And what did they do? All lives matter. So you're going, you created this thing because you're trying to create awareness to what our people go through. They are aware what we go through. They don't give a ish. They are aware what we go through. They don't care. Clearly. Somebody put it perfect. I don't know who put it. I saw it online. Them saying all lives matter to Black Lives Matter is like me trying to bring awareness to breast cancer and you say all cancer matters.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm doing a bone marrow cancer awareness. No, all cancer matters. Why are you doing that? Why are you bringing light to that? All cancer matters. But the point that I'm making is, in our watching, we've watched, you see how you try to, you protest, you march, to what end? Look at his sister that voted for Donald Trump, right? That she was always supporting him, and they get deported. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that cannot help us. Read it again from the top.
As for us, our eyes has yet failed for our vain help.
It's vain help, meaning that what it's the illusion of inclusion. What? Because they put, quote, affirmative action? That's vain help. That doesn't make things. Listen, first of all, we shouldn't want to be equal. But if you're thinking carnally, affirmative action don't make us equal. All right? The head start that they have doesn't put us in a position to do. They already got the free labor and lifted themselves on the back of our people. And then they're going to tell you, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's why, listen, I'm sorry. Some people might take it the wrong way. In Arizona, there's a lot of white, so-called white homeless people. And that thing lifts my spirit. That thing lifts my spirit, bro. I don't feel sad at all when I see them with their little signs and stuff like that. That thing, though, you know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, it's not like I run around and I relish in that sort of thing. But it just makes me laugh. Right, it's like you're a two-time loser. This is supposed to be your time, yeah, your kingdom, and look at where you at.
But your captain on the suspension affirmative action, they're looking to take away those rights right now.
Right. Yes, yes. Well, Trump is on a rampage with that stuff. He's taking everything off that's supposedly been given all those years. Hey, but here's the thing you got to understand: it's not that hell with Trump. I don't have anything against Trump. I actually like Trump.
Right.
You know why? Because he's the figurehead, the speaker, the voice of his constituents.
Right. Exactly.
So it goes to show you, for our people, wake the hell up. These people are our enemies. And he's the voice box of what you're trying to say hasn't existed. That's why, but it baffles me how you can go to someone of our people, and I've said this before, you could go to a light-skinned Northern Kingdom brother, and you can almost understand why he would be against the image of Christ, the true image. But when I see a so-called African-American against Christ being Black, bro, you should be happy. You should be jumping up for joy and going, oh, my God. Oh, wow. Yes, I have a hero. I have something that I could look to, right? Superman is Black. And by Superman, I mean the real Superman, which is Jesus Christ.
All right,
the Messiah.
And a heavy Christian, but she had a husband on her right,
She had her other kid on the left, and then she had white Jesus right in the middle. And we went over to the scripture where they show, okay, Jesus is my scripture. Sometimes I'm supposed to listen to it. You're going to take it down? She said,
nah. She was a minister, by the way.
She was a minister, by the way.
Oh, so she didn't want to take it down because that would affect her. That would affect her donations from her church.
So we went to the church of God, black name, black private thing, black for Jews, black, and she accepted it, but she would not take that white name down. She just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, see, brothers posting stuff like lemonade stands. Whites can sell it without a permit, but we get the cops calling us. It's true. Mm-hmm. It really is true. It really is true. You know, so I mean, in part of our repentance is like a perfect cocktail, right, that we got to put together, right? I often use the analogy of a recipe, right? And you got to put all the ingredients together just right and the right measurements, right? Then you got to cook it and all that stuff. In our repentance, we have to galvanize behind this common enemy, all right? The scripture tells you a house divided cannot stand, all right? That's what's going to make it so much easier when Christ returns for this whole kingdom to collapse. Is because they're not going to stay unified. You see it now. Yes, Trump is disrupting exactly. This unity that supposedly they have. They're saying it might be irreparable. Like, even if he doesn't get reelected or if he doesn't get impeached or whatever it is, he's done, like, lasting damage to these relationships. They're bugging the hell out, you know? These world leaders are bugging the hell out over that. So, I don't know. All praises. Maybe Trump. This is why I say I love Trump. Because, right, Trump is speaking the mind of America.
You think he'll be reelected?
Who knows, man? If he does, man, I don't know. Listen, I don't want to say anything. Nobody knows the hour or the time. But if he does, man, I don't know. Brothers better really get their repenting game strong because I think if he's given 8 years to do what he's doing, we might be seeing them being really well. But listen, the prophecy talk about they're going to hate the whore. And I think it's getting to that point.
I like Trump.
Right.
Yeah. Whoever makes it in office, I'm for you. You know, ain't no party alignment because we know the Most High put you there. You know what I'm saying? But it's the fact that it is, you know, Obama put our people to sleep thinking that anything is possible, the American dream, all this, that, and the other. And then they follow him with Trump. Oh, the Lord, it's funny. The Lord has a sense of humor. The Lord has a sense of humor because not only everybody was crying, Obama was elected, Obama ain't do nothing because it don't matter that he was black in the office. He can't go against the establishment. He can't go against the powers that be, right? Bro, that's prophecy. It says no man shall buy you. There ain't nobody that's going to save us. So go back to Lamentations 4:17 and read that. Because, yes, even with a black, or let's say they put a Hispanic person in office, right?
They had Obama on a Time magazine.
Oh, goodness gracious. Read that. Yeah, that's an insult to Moses. And the labor that Moses did for our people. Go ahead.
I'm the basis of 4:17. As for us, our eyes have yet failed or our way held. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that cannot save us.
It says, in our watching, we have watched for a nation that cannot save us. It don't matter who is the person they put as the face of that country, as the face of that kingdom, all right? There is nobody that's going to help us except Christ. That's who we need to wait on our salvation is. And wait don't mean just sit twiddling your thumbs.
Exactly.
It means what? Going back to this recipe that I'm talking about. Unifying together, realizing that we all under the same afflictions together, all right? That under the whole earth, just like the scripture says, nothing's been done like it's been done to us. And the biggest thing being what? We are the only group of people on this earth that our history starts with slavery. Everybody else knows who they are. They have a heritage. They have an identity. We do not. You want to talk, they got countries. And some people say, oh, well, look, the Northern Kingdom got countries, so they can't be. Well, Africa got countries too then. So it goes on your whole logic.
Right? That's exactly what the truth is.
No. Hey, and I went over this, I think, a little bit on last week's show, and I've done this. Listen, look up the School of the Americas. Look at America's. And you tell me if Central South America and the Caribbean really has their own countries, and you look at the history of the United States involvement in how they get these leaders of these countries elected. Their influence, that's a nice way to put it. It's not even influence. These guys are puppets.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why these guys wind up back. That's why they hated Chavez, because Chavez was that's why Venezuela's in the position that they are now. That's why Cuba's in the position, because they dared to speak out again. How can you just say the mark of the beast is not being able to participate in the world economy that America's a part of? Venezuela's not able to do it, and Cuba's not. And I saw firsthand Cuba. I brothers talking about, let's go to Venezuela. I'm like, bro, I don't even know what the climate is like over there for us to go there. You know what I'm saying? Like, the American dollar don't mean jack over there right now. Right, wheelbarrow of to buy a loaf of bread. Wheelbarrow of the local currency to buy local bread.
I mean, it's just the power of another country coming to your country, like, you know, somebody like Donald Trump to stand up and visit with us. Oh, by the way,
they don't mean nothing. And that's it. Because they're not playing by the rules of the world stage.
That's
so you tell
right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, you're fooling yourself. All right. We have to unify. We have to galvanize behind this. Give me my 5 and 9 again.
The book of Deuteronomy 5:9.
I'm still not gonna get able into the other stuff I wanted to get into. We're gonna run out of time. So.
Chapter 5, verse 9. Also, I said, it is not good.
No, the show's winding down. We almost done with the allotment of the show. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Nehemiah 5 and 9. Go ahead. It is not good that you do. That you do what? That you be in sin? That you be divided? That you walk around calling yourself things outside of what you really are? Go ahead.
Are you not to walk in the fear of our God?
Shouldn't you be walking in the fear of our God? Why?
Because of the reproach of the heathen, our
enemies. Because of the reproach that we are to the heathen, our enemies. Give me Deuteronomy 28:37. It's real simple. It's not that complicated what we're dealing with. All right? You have to understand that. So for you to sit here and talk about, I'm an American citizen, you need to go back, and you're freaking Israel, you're a so-called black or Hispanic or native, you out of your damn mind. You know, go ahead, read that, Deuteronomy 28:37.
And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a fire.
This is the stereotype. This is the way they group us. When they talk about Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matters, or let them kill themselves, get a job, all the negative things they say, all right? Also, a byword is what? Even more so. So there's levels to that. So when you say you're African-American, when you say you're an American citizen, you're Mexican-American, that's outside of who you are because that's not who God said. When you walk around with names like Gonzalez, Rodriguez, and Smith, De Leon, Comas, John Well, all right, whatever it is, you running around talking about, you know, that that's a byword. That's being called outside of what you are, all right? Read. It says among all nations. This is the reproach that we are. Among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead. The heathen are enemies. All nations, that's not Israel. All right? Go back to, is that it on that? Give me Nehemiah 5 and 9.
Nehemiah 5 and verse 9. Also I said, it is not good that you do. Are ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen?
Of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies. The fear of our God encompasses what? Unifying together as Israelites. Yes, it's important that we know the tribes. We need to know that, right? Because 12,000 is sealed from each tribe, all right? So we understand that. But even more important than that is realizing that we are one nation, the nation of Israel, and that we have to stand behind the standard of the Bible in keeping the laws, statutes, and commandments in the faith of Christ. In what? In that he's going to, give me Luke 1:68, in that he's going to come back and save us from our enemies. You can't, the vain help of America, of any country, is useless. Because, right, their hands are too short to box with God. God's will is going to be done no matter what you want. You read Isaiah 30, it talks about what? We go down into the shadow of Egypt. And because of that, this is why we're continually afflicted. You have to come out of the ideologies of this world, all right? Go ahead, read this.
The book of Luke, chapter 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
There we go again. Ownership. We were reading earlier that it's our God. They refer to God as their God, meaning the Israelites' God. And now he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Go ahead.
For he has visited and redeemed his people.
He has visited and redeemed his people. Possessive. He has visited and redeemed his people. Just like it says in Matthew 1:21, he shall save his people from their sins. Read.
And have raised up and horn of salvation for us in the house of his servants.
He have raised up a horn of salvation for us, not for the whole world, all right, in the house of his servant David. But I don't see how much clearer you could get of the possessive ownership of who Christ is for, who he belongs to. Read.
And he spake by by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been since the world began. This has been preordained, the end from the beginning. Read.
That we should be saved from our enemies.
We should be saved from our enemies. We should be saved from our enemies. You got a brother online commenting that no one's going to come back. You say that, brother. Read the book of Wisdom, Solomon 5. You're going to be one of those. All right? You're going to be one of those. Oh,
right.
I messed up. These are they we had in derision. No one's going to come back. You keep drinking of that cup. Go ahead.
If no one's coming back, then that means that you still got to go into slavery on slave ships.
Right. Exactly. Go ahead.
And from the hand of all them, and from the hand of all that hate us,
and from the hand of all that hate us. And who's all that hate us? All the other nations. And even those people that imagine a vain thing among our own people that have that hatred towards each other. That spirit of Cain is amongst a lot of our people. Look about it. We did the shows on Junior, the young boy that got killed in New York in the Bronx. All right. Over that gang-related violence. It's not even just that he got killed, right? Because we get killed all the time. The reason it got so much attention was just, you know. I mean, listen, that was the one that got caught on cameras, man. You don't think that stuff happens on the regular?
All the time.
All the time. Right? And then you'll have people that'll make comments like no one's going to come back, but they got no solutions for our people.
And still has a slave name.
Yes, exactly. Right? So then don't tune in. What the hell are you watching for? No
right.
one's going to come back. Go get cast to Satan. That's exactly what it means. That's exactly
what it means. You know what? If no one's coming back, then swallow a bullet right now, because what are you looking for? That's what faith is.
Right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for that everything's not seen. If this is life, if this is the kingdom, then kill me right now.
Right. Right. So real quick, I wanted to bring something out. I want to move on from that. We only got a few minutes left on the broadcast, but so we're talking about this immigration thing, and I like Joe Rogan said something on he was making the rounds on Facebook, and it goes to show you the nature of this people. I mean, how could you be confused about the Bible and it not being prophetic? We're living in prophetic times. We've seen historically how some things have come to pass and how things are playing out in front of us today, and he says that it baffles him how people can have an issue and say that they're getting what they deserve when you separate a two-year-old from his mother, all right? And then you put this two-year-old in court. It's a mockery, and you have a judge asking him if he understands his rights, and he understands this, and he understands that. And they're just going to sit there and talk about good for them. You shouldn't have tried to cross the border. First of all, and I'm going to have to do this in a summary fashion, all right? This goes back to the School of the Americas. They are fleeing because of what your elected officials and your government has done in the countries where our people are. They've created unstable governments. They've supported guerrilla factions whenever it suited their interests because the person sitting in authority was not aligned with their agenda. I can't remember where the quote is, but when the whole School of the Americas started, there was one of those sitting presidents said something to the effect of the fact that Central and South America is so close to us, we cannot let them basically, I'm paraphrasing real hard. He says, you cannot let them go unchecked. We have to have a modicum of control. We have to have our hands in what's going on because how close they are to our borders. All right? They didn't do that with Canada, so I don't understand what's going on there. All right? But for some reason, they felt a threat from, you know, I mean, and we know at the highest levels what the threat that they felt was. Okay? All right? Because they said, damn, we got, you know, 10 parts of Israel, you know what I'm saying? It's really 9 parts, but after Dan's gone. But, you know, you got two-thirds of God's chosen people right on our doorstep, on our borders. We need to make sure that we control the narrative of what their history is here.
We need to make sure that we start like it says Judas, we make sure that we keep them in iniquity, that way their Lord won't stand up and defend them.
Right, exactly, right. Exactly. And that goes with the destabilization of the governments there. That's how they've done it. I mean, we've mentioned documentaries to y'all, the end of poverty, how they, in their own way, this is the vain help, the illusion that, oh, you have resources, we're going to show you how to go ahead and export these things and make money off of this. But then they sell this stuff back to them, refined. And to refine something means, so like if
a big chunk of the world's wood comes from where? The rainforest, right? In South America, okay? So we're going to show you how to take this lumber down. You're going to let contractors come in, process this stuff, ship it out, and then in Europe, in America, and all these other countries, in China, all right? They're going to go ahead and make furniture out of it and then ship it back to you, and you buy the furniture. So they don't facilitate them being able to refine the oil, the gold, the iron ore, the wood, all these other things. This is the whole premise of the end of poverty. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to sell it back to you once it's completed, when you can really change the whole dynamic of the country if they can sell those finished products. Because the raw product, you're not going to get as much money. So it's like, here's a taste. That's vain help. Here's a taste of what the potential of what you could do with your resources, all right? But the real value is what? In the end product. You pay less for the wood that it takes to make the furniture than to buy the completed furniture, all right? Or the oil before it's refined or whatever it is, before it becomes gasoline and all that other stuff like that, all right? But then they... That's exactly what happens. And you know why it's true? That's Lamentations 5, where it says we've drunken our water for wood. That we've given our hands to the Egyptians. That's what it means. We allowed them to come in and do this. And they went in and it's espionage. And they've gone in and they've done this in such a subtle way. And these are the things that we don't look at because why? Because we're here worried about the Nike shoes that we could get. We're worried about who Kanye's screwing, who Kim Kardashian is screwing, what sports team is doing this, which two Jakes are beating each other up in the ring.
What's on World Star?
What's on World Star? And we forget the deeper, more prevalent issues of what's going on. So they're coming across the border, and they're angry at this, but they don't realize that they're coming across the border because of the destabilization that the United States has done in these countries. They're fleeing gang violence. They're seeking asylum from a destabilized government that you help contribute to. Because how could a country, look, the United States, they talk about the United States oil reserves. But if you think about it, and somebody could come, yeah, sure, you want to school me on economics. I know that we produce things. I know that we export things. But we import a lot too, right? We've become, we're a consumer society. And we consume everything from everybody else. But it doesn't seem that way. We get all our goods from outside. We get all our stuff so that we can live this lifestyle that keeps us in blindness, right? And I'm not complaining because, you know, I'm grateful. We've seen it in some of the countries that we traveled to. Bro, the breast of Babylon, the Bible tells you that the breast of Babylon will sustain us for a time, all right? I tell people all the time, when I travel and I see the conditions of our people in these other countries, we're the house Negroes. We're the ones that get to sleep in the bed and not the barn house. You know what I'm saying? We're the ones that have some creature comforts. So I'm not saying we don't have it bad, but, you know, the Most High has put us in a very advantageous position to do this work where we at here, all right, compared to where other places are. I realize my bougie-ness sometimes when I travel to these other countries. But it's just genius how starting with America, they've set this whole thing up where the whole world basically supports them, provides for them, but yet they're the ones that have to ask permission to do anything to operate in this world based on what America wants. And listen, again, people are going to come with little nuances and say, oh, here and there, that's not so, whatever it might be. Listen, at the end of the day, you got to look at the bigger picture, the whole macro scale of what's being done and what has been done. And there's another documentary called Harvest of Empire. There's a book, too. And it explains why you have all these people emigrating to the United States. Trust me, a lot of people know the bad here, the racism here. They know that the kids are getting separated at the border, but they attempt it anyway. What drives somebody to do something like that? It gotta be some crazy stuff going on where they at. Exactly. Right? So real quick, I want to bring something out. I'm just going to read this part briefly, and then we'll have to get to closing thoughts because there's like 5 minutes left on the broadcast. Understand that what's going on with these kids at the border has been going on for a while. It's just recently been brought to light, and now they're not even reporting on it anymore. I have an article here. I had a bunch that I wanted to go through, but the spirit led us somewhere else. It says the Trump administration launched a zero tolerance policy on the southwest border in April of this year. But officials floated the idea of separating children from parents at the border more than a year earlier as a way to deter illegal crossings. So meaning what? They wanted them to know that, hey, we're going to take your kids from you, and you may never see them again. As a measure to prevent them from even trying to make the trek. And this has been going on for a while now, even more than what this article reports. They have a whole timeline here going back as far as March 2017.
as to when they started putting the strategy into place. Now, mind you, I say it's been going on even before that, just not in the scale and volume that they've been doing it now. It says the Justice Department and border authorities began prosecuting every adult who crossed the Southwest border illegally in May, causing more than 2,300 children to be separated from their parents. And it was such a mess that, you know, the courts here ordered the government to return the kids by a certain date to their families. But let me tell you how you know this wasn't some thing where their intent was to give these kids back, because they couldn't even give them back. They're in violation of the court order and the timeline that they were supposed to do it, because they don't know who the kids belong to. So they just took them and dragged them and separated them and not even go ahead and have any provision for how you link this kid with that parent. And we're talking about by the thousands that they did this. So it's not like it was like 10 kids and the kids could look and say, oh, yeah, that's my kid and that's this and whatever. So now they have this big issue going on. And this goes back to what I had mentioned. Joe Rogan was on a podcast saying, you can feel however you want about immigration. He was like, but if you're a parent and this is going on, he was like, and mind you, this is Satan revealing Satan, right? All right? Because Joe Rogan is Esau. But he says, you know, the hell with you that you don't even have any type of compassion in that way. So you want to talk about that. We're not living the curses now. The scripture talks about they don't have any regard for the old or the young or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you're reading Deuteronomy 28:32 where it says that there'll be no might in your hand. Your kids will be taken. We're continually going through this. It's happening to this day. And we're here bickering over each other because this Mexican store is opening up where black stores used to be, not realizing that it's the same people. That if we could just come together with those. Well, you know what I was thinking as I'm looking at stuff being done in the school and stuff like that? And not to take credit away from any brothers that put stuff in. But I was like, man, I always say this about Israel. You could teach Israel to do anything. They'll cook whatever food from whatever country. You could teach them how to build a house, whatever. And they'll do that thing. Like, they just have the capacity to do that thing. Like, I'm looking, I'm doing the walkthrough. And he's like, yeah, you know, Cornelius will let us know what we can or can't do. And I'm laughing because I had Israel over here. I mean, in New York, we had Benjamin. We didn't have this. But Benjamin's another one that got that ability, too. They got good work ethic and stuff like that. But the thing is, that ability is in all our people. Oh, no, I don't know about that. I don't deal with no underground dentistry, all right? Jake don't like going to the dentist as it is, all right? I don't know about rolling with that. But the point I'm making, man, is that all of us have innate blessings that the Lord has blessed us with. As not just as Israel, but as tribes. I mean, we're the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. And right now, the salt has lost its savor. And this is why we're divided. Listen, one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8:19, where it tells you the earnest expectation of the creature awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. We have to, it means the whole earth is waiting with bated breath for us to come together to unify and keep God's commandments and come together so that we can come out of these conditions that we're in. I mean, it's powerful. That's the faith that we're talking about. Talk about nobody going to come back. Listen, I've seen too much. I've seen the Lord in action too much.
And it's like a puzzle, as you said, like different tribes do different things. We need all the tribes.
Exactly. Well, that's the diversities of gifts. When you read about it, we all can't be the eye. We all can't be the, because then where would be hearing? We all can't be the mouth, right? Because then where would be seeing? Everybody comes together, what, in perfect unison so that God's will can be done. And that's how we have to do as we unite as tribes. We got about a minute left on the show. Not exactly where I wanted to go. This is why I was thinking about changing the title, because I knew I was going to want to talk to you brothers and get your feedback and stuff like that on different things. But all praises to the Most High. I would just say, you know, make sure that you continue to like and share and support the shows that we do. I know we have a large platform for material that for existing brothers and sisters that are repenting. Our show is called The Lost. You find us on Facebook at The Lost 144K. Not to say that believing brothers and sisters shouldn't listen to what we say, because the scriptures are always edifying, no matter how many times they come out. But I implore you to go ahead and share this, because I try to gear our show with the mindset that the audience is people that don't know and don't have the understanding. So go ahead and share this show, share this platform. It'll upload on the Facebook live stream, on the Blog Talk. It becomes a podcast that's shareable. And if you got, you know, somebody who are under the curses, you know that they're, you know, so-called natives, Hispanics or blacks, go ahead and share this information with them so that we can wake up and go home, you know. Any brothers got anything else you want to say? I got 20 seconds. No? All right. This is the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Lord's Will will be on next week. Mondays we have the Spanish show. You doing a show Wednesday?
Yes, sir. Really.
Most Wednesdays you have a show as well. All right. And Lord's Will will be on the air next Sabbath as well. All right. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.